Welcome to Aviation Intelligence Weekly with Sarah and Mike, your guide to the aviation industry. Allegiant Travel just posted a 37% revenue jump to $943.5 million and still lost money.
That's the paradox sitting at the center of this filing. Revenue is exploding, the core airline is setting records, and the bottom line is still in the red. That tension tells you almost everything you need to know about where Allegiant stands right now. And that's straight out of the 10Q they filed August 10th.
If you want same-week reads on filings like this one, follow the show.
If we reduce this filing to one sentence, it's this. Allegiant is executing a high-wire transformation, absorbing a major acquisition, retiring aging aircraft, and launching premium products simultaneously. While fuel costs, running 71% above last year's levels, are consuming every dollar of operational improvement the core airline generates.
And where does that put them in the cycle?
Based on this filing, Allegiant Travel Company is operating in structural reset. This is not a company coasting on a favorable macro. This is a company actively rebuilding its cost base, its fleet, its network, and now its corporate structure all at once. The thesis is going to face a serious stress test as we work through the numbers.
Let's get into the material changes, because the year-over-year swings here are dramatic. Walk me through what moved.
The headline is revenue up 36.9%, from $689.4 million in the second quarter of 2025 to $943.5 million in the second quarter of 2026. For context, a 37% revenue jump in a single year is extraordinary for any airline. Legacy carriers typically grow revenue in the low to mid single digits annually. But the filing is explicit that you cannot read that number at face value.
Because of Sun Country.
Exactly. The acquisition of Sun Country closed May 13th, 2026, and the filing is careful to note the consolidated results include Sun Country operations only from that closing date through June 30th. What management calls the stub period, roughly 48 days. So a meaningful chunk of that revenue surge is Sun Country revenue that simply did not exist in the prior year comparison. Management states directly in the MD&A that the discussion of changes to revenue and expenses, quote, largely focuses on material factors independent of the acquisition.
So strip out Sun Country, and what does the core Allegiant Air business look like?
Genuinely impressive. Record Allegiant Air revenue of $776.2 million, up 16.1% year over year, on 6.8% less capacity. That is a critical distinction. They flew fewer seat miles and generated more revenue. The TRASM, total revenue per available seat mile, hit 14.42 cents, a quarterly record, up 24.6% year over year. For reference, TRASM in that range puts Allegiant Air well above where it has historically operated, and the improvement is coming from both higher fares and better load factors.
The load factor improvement is striking given the capacity cuts.
It is. Management explains in the trends section that they, quote, strategically reduced off-peak day of week capacity and in turn increased peak day ASMs on fewer total aircraft year over year. The result was a 4.0 percentage point increase in Allegiant Air load factor in the second quarter, with scheduled service passengers down only 0.8% despite a 6.2% capacity reduction. That is disciplined yield management working exactly as intended.
Now on the operating income side, what changed?
Operating income improved by $88.6 million year over year, moving from negative $67.5 million in the second quarter of 2025 to positive $21.1 million in the second quarter of 2026. That is a meaningful swing, but net income is still negative, $4.9 million, improved by $60.3 million year over year from negative $65.2 million. EPS improved by $3.41, from negative $3.62 to negative 21 cents. So the company is not yet profitable at the net income line.
And the causality chain there matters. If the revenue momentum in the core airline persists, but fuel stays elevated, What breaks?
That is the central risk. The filing state's fuel expense in the second quarter was $307.7 million at $4.14 per gallon, 71.1% higher than the $2.42 per gallon paid in the second quarter of 2025. Fuel is now the single largest cost item by a wide margin, and management is explicit. They do not hedge fuel and have no plans to do so. If that $4 plus a fuel environment persists, the operating leverage the core airline is generating through yield improvement gets absorbed entirely by the fuel line. The investment case for a return to sustained profitability depends heavily on fuel normalization that management has not guided toward.
Let's talk about what management is actually saying. The tone and the specific language in the MD&A.
The tone is cautiously optimistic on the demand side, and notably candid on the risk side. On demand, management says air travel demand in the first half of 2026 has been, quote, strong, but immediately qualifies that demand, quote, could be impacted in the future by macroeconomic, geopolitical, and airline industry events as it has in the past. That is standard boilerplate, but the fuel language is sharper.
How so?
On fuel, management says the recent escalation of hostilities in the Middle East has, quote, significantly impacted the market prices of products that are derived from crude oil, and that as hostilities and uncertainty continue, they, quote, may continue to see significant increases in fuel costs that will materially impact our overall cost structure, operating results, and profitability. That is not hedge language. That is management telling you directly that they see fuel as a material threat to profitability, not a manageable headwind.
What about the commercial initiatives? There is some genuinely new language in this filing.
There is, and it is worth paying attention to. In July, so after the quarter closed, Allegiant entered a 12-month exclusive distribution agreement with Expedia Group, described as Allegiant's first ever authorized online travel agency partner. Management says early results are, quote, promising, comprising approximately 3% of bookings since launch, with, quote, meaningfully more than half of those bookings from net new customers. For an airline that has historically sold almost exclusively through its own direct channels, this is a genuine strategic shift. They are deliberately expanding their distribution reach.
And the premium product announcement? Allegiant First.
Yes. Management announced a new premium seating tier called Allegiant First, scheduled to debut on select aircraft in spring 2027, featuring 8 new premium seats per aircraft. They are also adding complimentary in-flight beverage service on all flights beginning August 1st, 2026. These are meaningful departures from Allegiant's traditional ultra-low-cost positioning. Management frames the Boeing MAX fleet as the enabler. The new aircraft will feature the redesigned cabin. The MAX represented 21% of ASMs in the second quarter of 2026, up from 11% in the same period of 2025.
Let's move to financial red flags, because there are some numbers here that deserve scrutiny.
The most significant flag is the special charges line. In the second quarter, Allegiant recorded $66 million in special charges. Breaking that down, $55.2 million for Sun Country acquisition and integration costs, $10 million for software write-offs, and $1.3 million for accelerated depreciation on aging Airbus airframes being retired early. $66 million in special charges in a single quarter is substantial for a company of this size. It is roughly 7% of quarterly revenue. And these are not one-time in the traditional sense, because integration costs will continue until the companies are fully combined, which management says will not happen until a single FAA operating certificate is obtained, currently expected in 2028.
So 2 more years of integration drag.
At minimum. And the causality chain is direct. If integration costs remain elevated through 2028, the path to sustained net profitability is pushed further out. That changes the investment case from a near-term earnings recovery story to a longer-duration transformation play.
What about the labor cost picture?
Salaries increased 16.9% in the second quarter overall. The new pilot collective bargaining agreement, ratified July 31st, provides for increased compensation and enhanced benefits. And management notes that pilot retention bonuses that have been accrued will be payable no later than the fourth quarter of 2026. That is a known cash outflow coming in the back half of the year. Additionally, Sun Country pilots are still in active contract negotiations under the Railway Labor Act, which adds another layer of labor cost uncertainty.
Let's talk risk disclosures. The filing notes no new or significantly escalated risk factors versus the prior filing, but there are sector-specific risks worth naming.
The fuel risk is the most acute, and management has been unusually direct about it. The no-hedge policy is a deliberate strategic choice, but at $4.14 per gallon, 71% above where they were a year ago, it is a policy that is currently costing them significantly. The second risk is integration execution. Management acknowledges the Sun Country acquisition involves, quote, a complex, costly, and time-consuming process, and that both companies must continue to operate as separate airlines under FAA rules until a single operating certificate is obtained in 2028. The third risk is labor. With multiple union groups in active negotiations across both airlines and a new pilot agreement just ratified that increases compensation, the labor cost trajectory is upward.
And the Boeing delivery risk.
Yes, management notes that 7 MAX aircraft are expected in the second half of 2026, with the remaining aircraft under contract delivering in 2027 and 2028. They explicitly flag that, quote, delays in aircraft deliveries could impact our ability to schedule additional growth when the demand environment allows. Given Boeing's well-documented delivery challenges in recent years, this is not a theoretical risk.
Let's get into the balance sheet, because the numbers here are large and the year-over-year changes are significant.
Total assets increased 46.8% year-over-year from $4.39 billion to $6.44 billion. Total liabilities increased 40.0% from $3.33 billion to $4.67 billion. Stockholders' equity increased 68.3% from $1.06 billion to $1.78 billion. The equity increase is notable. It suggests the Sun Country acquisition was structured in a way that added more asset value than liability, at least on paper.
Cash position?
Cash and equivalents increased 142.4% year over year from $209.9 million to $508.7 million. That is a meaningful liquidity cushion, but context matters. The filing discloses that during the quarter, Allegiant received $874.7 million in debt financing proceeds. That included $650 million in senior secured notes, due 2031, used partly to refinance $377.5 million of senior secured notes, due 2027, and $224.7 million from aircraft secured debt. So the cash position is partly a function of recent debt issuance, not purely operational cash generation.
And long-term debt?
Long-term debt increased 38.3% year over year, from $1.78 billion to $2.46 billion. At $2.46 billion in long-term debt against an operating income of $21.1 million for the quarter, the leverage ratio is elevated. For an airline that historically operated with a relatively lean balance sheet compared to legacy carriers, this is a meaningful shift in financial risk profile. The debt-to-equity ratio has expanded substantially, and the interest burden on that debt will be a recurring headwind to net income.
Let's talk about the segment picture, because this is the first quarter where Sun Country shows up in the consolidated numbers.
Right, and the segment breakdown is instructive. Allegiant Air generated record revenue of $776.2 million, driven by the yield improvement we discussed. Sun Country contributed during the stub period $105.5 million in passenger revenue, $28.7 million in fixed fee contract revenue, which is Sun Country's charter business, and $27.6 million in cargo revenue. That cargo line is entirely new to Allegiant's consolidated financials and represents a business model that Allegiant Air does not operate.
So Sun Country brings genuine diversification.
It does, and management frames it that way. The filing notes that Sun Country is the largest low-cost carrier at Minneapolis, St. Paul International Airport, and the second largest airline overall there, serving approximately 96 markets from MSP as of June 30th. That is a concentrated hub model, very different from Allegiant Air's point-to-point leisure network. The combined company now sells 675 routes versus 579 a year ago. And management has identified over 1,400 incremental domestic nonstop route opportunities, with over 75% currently lacking any nonstop service.
That is a significant long-term growth runway, if they can execute.
If they can execute, and that qualifier is doing a lot of work. The integration timeline stretches to 2028 at minimum. Joint collective bargaining agreements need to be negotiated across combined employee groups, and the two airlines are operating under separate FAA certificates in the meantime. The network opportunity is real, but it is a 2028 story, not a 2026 story.
Let's close with what traders and long-term holders should be watching, and where our thesis could be wrong.
Management has given some clear signposts. Watch the fuel line every quarter. At $4.14 per gallon, fuel is the single largest swing factor in profitability. Watch the integration cost trajectory. If special charges remain in the 50 plus million range per quarter, the path to net profitability is materially delayed. Watch the pilot retention bonus payment in the fourth quarter of 2026, which is a known cash outflow. And watch the Expedia distribution partnership. Management says early results are promising at 3% of bookings, with more than half from net new customers. But a 12-month exclusive agreement means the results will be visible in the next 2 to 3 quarters.
And the counter thesis, what would prove us wrong?
Two specific scenarios. First, if fuel prices normalize meaningfully, say back toward the $2.50 to $3 per gallon range, the operating leverage in the core Allegiant Air business is substantial. A 24.6% TRASM improvement on 6.8% less capacity is a powerful unit economic story. And at lower fuel costs, it translates directly to the bottom line. Second, if Sun Country integration costs come in below expectations and the combined network generates revenue synergies faster than the integration timeline suggests, the structural reset thesis weakens considerably, and this starts to look more like a mid-cycle expansion play.
So revisiting the thesis, does the evidence confirm it?
It does, with one important nuance. The structural reset framing is confirmed by the data. $66 million in special charges, $2.46 billion in long-term debt, a net loss of $4.9 million despite record core airline revenue, and a 2-year runway to full integration. But the core Allegiant Air business is performing at a level that suggests the reset, if executed, leads somewhere genuinely better. The TRASM record, the load factor improvement, the co-brand remuneration growth, these are not the metrics of a broken airline. They are the metrics of an airline that is being rebuilt while flying. From a valuation standpoint, this equity trades like a distressed transformation candidate, not a peak cycle operator, and whether that discount is an opportunity or a warning depends almost entirely on fuel and integration execution.
That is a precise framing of the bet. If you want this level of analysis on every major aviation filing the week it drops, follow the show. It is the fastest way to stay ahead of what these filings actually say versus what the headlines report.
A reminder that everything discussed today is drawn directly from Allegiant Travel Company's 10Q filing for the period ending June 30th, 2026, filed August 10th, 2026. Nothing in this episode constitutes investment advice. All figures are sourced from the filing's financial statements and management discussion and analysis sections. Consult a qualified financial professional before making any investment decisions.
For Aviation Intelligence Weekly, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Mike. We'll see you next week.